Today on Straight Talk Africa, elections in Africa. In Tanzania, for the first time ever, the revolutionary ruling party, or CCM, faces a real political challenge. And in the Ivory Coast, opposition party candidates and some observers claim the ruling party has already compromised the vote. So, what does it really take for an election in Africa to be free, fair, and credible, such that the results reflect the will of the people? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, October 21st. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
On Sunday, Tanzania and Ivory Coast decides who will lead their nations for the next 5 years. And today, we'll talk about the significance of the upcoming polls.
And coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on this important and timely topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
Thanks very much, Mariama. But first, observers say elections in Africa often bring accusations of playing fields that are not level, especially in countries where the state and the ruling parties are fused. But some changes have been witnessed this year in Nigeria and Senegal. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more.
The historic presidential transition in Nigeria saw an incumbent, Goodluck Jonathan, voted out of office in favor of opposition candidate, now President Muhammadu Buhari. A very different historic event in Ethiopia's May 24th general elections, where the ruling party and its allies won all 546 parliamentary seats, and the opposition declared no viable multi-party system exists. In Tanzania, where President Jakaya Kikwete has completed his second term, the ruling Chama cha Mapinduzi, or Revolutionary Party, has been in power since independence in the 1960s. Tanzania's voters cast their ballots October 25th. The party has selected the Minister of Works, John Pombe Magufuli, as its presidential nominee. Prime Minister Edward Lowassa, who left CCM, is now the main opposition candidate. Four primary opposition parties formed an alliance known as UKAWA to unite behind and nominate Lowassa. They believe the only way to defeat CCM is with a single opposition candidate. Despite CCM's political dominance, there has been a multi-party system in Tanzania since 1992. Tanzania has been one of Africa's most politically stable nations, and President Kikwete says he's eager to stand down. Whoever is elected will attempt to alleviate poverty and improve service delivery in Tanzania, the issues voters are most concerned about. Ivorians also go to the polls Sunday in the first presidential vote since disputed elections in 2010. President Alassane Ouattara is facing a fractured opposition and is heavily favored to win a second five-year term. Several opposition party members are asking their supporters to boycott the election, saying cheating by Ouattara has already begun, and the Election Commission is heavily tilted in favor of the ruling party. Under Ouattara, the Ivory Coast economy has grown significantly over the past 3 years. However, critics say political reconciliation is poor at best. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Before we begin today's discussion, let's go to Tanzania itself. And I'm joined by Emmanuel Kawishe, Director of the Legal Services at the National Electoral Commission. He joins us via telephone link from Dar es Salaam. Good evening, Emmanuel.
Yes, good evening, sir.
I am hugely terrific. How are you? Are you in Dar es Salaam, the harbor of peace?
Yes, yes. We are doing good.
You're doing good. Now talk to me, Emmanuel. To what extent are you ready for Sunday's poll, especially in light of many concerns from registered voters regarding, of course, the voters' register?
Well, Yes, we are ready for the poll on 25th. We are done with the register, as perhaps you have heard already somewhere else. And the rule is that whoever whose name is in the register is the one who will vote and has to have the voter's ID. So as to be allowed, and they should go to the registration center where he was registered, and he is located to vote from. That is according to the law. So whoever who does not see his name in the register, Syrian will not be in a position to vote.
Now, you obviously have displayed the voter's register since Sunday, and there are some people who have been complaining that yes, they did register, but they cannot find their names on the voters' register. What do you say to those?
We gave them time to inspect the register. Also, we gave them a short code SMS. If people could not make to the registration center to inspect their names and raise any concern. But for those who did, they brought out their complaints and they were attended to, either through the returning officers and the election officers from the district council, and even at the ward level. So they were all attended to, whichever complaint which was raised was attended to. But for those who are coming up right now saying that they are not seeing their names, most of them are those who did not go to cross-check, of course, to inspect the register. So that's how things are, and no way we can cater for individual situations. But they should have done it as the law provides, that once we put the register for inspection, everyone is allowed to go to cross-check his or her details, and even to object some others' claims to be there if they do not have the qualifications. So for those who are coming out right now, it's a problem for sure. It's a problem that we cannot solve at this point because they were given the time according to the law and they did not utilize their time. So we are seriously sorry for that, my brother.
Now talk to us about the reported discrepancy regarding the number, the exact number of registered voters. The National Electoral Commission says, I think if I checked correctly, that there are 22 million registered voters. On the other hand, we also heard as far as President Jakaya Kikwete is concerned, there are 28 million voters. What is the exact number from your vantage point?
What the president said, it has been rectified from the Directorate of Information from the State House. It's quite unfortunate that whenever something good is done, it is not that much reported, but when something has been done not the way people like it to be is when it is seriously published. But the exact number for the register, the registered voters is 22.7 million.
22.7 million.
Yes.
Let's talk about the perceptions. How do you deal with perceptions?
Oh, yes.
How do you deal with perceptions that you are not in a position to carry out an election that is free, fair, and credible, especially because most, if not all, the commissioners of the Electoral Commission are appointed by the president?
My brother, the commission is constructed or established under the commission is established under the Constitution of the United Republic of Tanzania, which has been into place since 1977. And the very same commissioners who have been appointed by the president are the ones who have supervised and conducted the election since 1995 to date. The issue of perception, it's an individual's issue. And it's a right of a person to have a perception. In fact, I would compare the commissioners with the judges in the court. They are all appointed by the president, but they never say that this decision should be made in accordance to the favor of the government or to the president. So does the commission. In fact, the president appoints the commissioners, and everyone can have any perception as far as individual concerns, that with us, the commission does its functions according to the provisions of the Constitution of the Republic of Tanzania. And that I can assure that whenever an opposition party candidate wins, the commission declares them. And whenever it is from the ruling party, the commission declares them. But all in all, even the commission is not happy with the way people perceive it because of the modality of appointment. And that's why in the proposed constitution, the commission itself proposed to the Constitutional Review Commission that the modality of appointment of the commissioners should be changed. There be a panel whereby the posts for the commissioners are advertised and the people can apply. They are shortlisted, they are interviewed, and their names can be submitted to the Parliament of the Republic of Tanzania for scrutiny and approval. And thereafter, be submitted to the President of the Republic of Tanzania for the ceremonial appointment. But for since the new constitution could not come into effect, that means that the status quo, it means that the commissioners will just perform their duties as they are, and that's how it is. But anyway, perception is someone's, the way she thinks, the way she thinks, and they are allowed. Let them perceive the commission the way they wish, but for sure the commission performs its functions according to the constitution and the electoral laws, my brother.
Now, Ndugu, what about the issue of an ordinary voter who casts his or her vote? According to the law, how far does he or she have to stand? Is it about 200 meters from the polling station, or is she or he not allowed to be anywhere near the polling station?
If you read section 104, subsection 1 of the National Elections Act, it says about 200 meters that there should not be any meeting gathering whatsoever showing favoritism to a candidate or a political party carrying flags or a card or photographs indicating a favoritism to any candidate or support of any candidate, the vicinity of 200 meters. But the commission issued directives that people, once they have voted, let them go home. Let them carry on with their daily activities instead of sitting to the polling stations saying that they are getting their votes. And even if they sit that 200 meters, how far can their eyes see? How can you visualize things in a distance of 200 meters or 300 meters as provided for under the Local Government Elections Act? It's not possible. For those who are saying that they are sitting there, seriously, it is imaginary, because we have the polling agents in each and every polling station from all the political parties who are contesting election.
I see. What about the issue of announcing the results? When does that happen?
It depends on the area of the place. For example, for the councillors level, they announce that the ward, and that it depends on the geographical area of the ward, and most of the ward results are announced the very same day. Remember, the polling stations are opened at 7 in the morning and closed at 4 4 in the evening. And from there, counting starts. And once they fill in the forms, the polling agent present, they are issued with a copy of all the forms for the elections conducted. And one of the copies is pasted on a conspicuous place where people can view. So they will be announced from the, in fact, at the polling station after counting, the results are pasted, not announced, because there is no winner at that point. But going to the constituency headquarters, there is where announcements are made, and the law requires that the returning officer will inform the party, the candidates, on the day, date, time, and the venue where the tallying will be conducted and declaration of winners. So does the commission at the headquarters. So we are expecting to announce the results on the very same day, if all goes well. We do not wish to stay longer with the results unnecessarily.
I see. Well, I guess time not being our best ally, I would have to stop right there. Thanks very much, Emmanuel, for taking time to join us on this program All the best in Sunday's poll. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website, Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA African Elections or African Elections. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Here are some key factors of the Tanzanian elections. On May 2nd, Tanzania's four main opposition parties unite under the Coalition of Defenders of the People's Constitution, UKAWA, to take on Tanzania's ruling Chama cha Mapinduzi's party. On July 12th, the ruling party CCM's National Congress nominates Tanzania's Minister of Works, John Magufuli, as the party's presidential candidate. On July 14th, Magufuli follows Tanzania's tradition, selecting a vice president from CCM's party in Zanzibar. Samia Suluhu Hassan was chosen to share Magufuli's ticket. If elected, she'll be Tanzania's first female vice president. On August 4th, Tanzania's four main opposition parties choose former Prime Minister Edward Lowassa as their presidential candidate. A week later, he defected from the ruling CCM party to join the opposition Chadema party. Lowassa served as Tanzania's Prime Minister between 2005 and 2008. He resigned over corruption allegations, charges he denied.
Are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111, U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back. And now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Dr. Nicholas Boaz, Professor of Communications at the University of Maryland, University College. And Daman Rura Ajay, an Ivorian political analyst and author of several books that provides analysis on the political history of Ivory Coast, including the post-electoral crisis in 2010, entitled Coup d'Ivoire, Caught in Crossfire, and Coup d'Ivoire Africa, Two Battles to Win. Well, gentlemen, I have to say I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Now, later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. Now, I gather that I have to go back to Dar es Salaam temporarily to be joined by my colleague, Edi Lugongo. My colleague from VOA Swahili Service. Good evening, Edi.
Good evening, Shaka. How are you in Washington?
I am hugely terrific. What about you? How are you in the harbor of peace? Is there peace in as far as the political climate is concerned, by the way?
Yes, indeed. There is a full of peace here in Dar es Salaam right now, Shaka.
Well, you had an official from the National Electoral Commission, did he satisfy some of the concerns that perhaps you have actually been hearing from some of the people that you have interacted with, both on mainland Tanzania and Zanzibar where you were until a few hours ago.
Yes, indeed. I satisfied Shaka, and I was in Zanzibar from Monday to up to today, where I witnessed so many of voters who were concerned about their names not appearing on the registry. But the research that I did when I was in Zanzibar, I just came to realize some of them, they lack education on what exactly they're supposed to do. For instance, I met some of people who were looking their names on the National Electoral Commission Registry while they were supposed to look their names on Zanzibar Electoral Commission Registry. That's when the confusion started to confuse most of the voters who were going to Zanzibar Electoral Commission to look for their names. And yesterday was the last day for the people to verify their names before the voting day on Sunday.
I see. Now, obviously, you've been talking to officials. You've also been talking to candidates who are running in the elections. You've also been talking to their supporters. What is the mood like, really?
When it comes to that, honestly, Shaka, you know, the election is will be very close, meaning the CCM and CUF under UKAWA. And if you know the history of Zanzibar, it's always been very close election, and this is what people are expecting. And it's hard to predict who is going to win between Maalim Seif Sharif Hamad and Dr. Ali Mohamed Shein. So what I can say is it's very, very hard to predict who is going to win. And what we have to wait is what will, you know, come out of the Sunday voting.
How can you possibly say that the election in Zanzibar is too close to call, and according to your information, you do not know who is going to win at the end of the day, when someone will probably say it is a fact that in the last 15 years, the opposition CUF has actually been winning elections in Zanzibar, and the CCM has been declaring victory?
Well, we cannot justify that, but, talking to people on the ground, the way people are conscious about their rights, what they want for the country, and what their expectations from their politicians, you can totally see, the election is going to be very, very close as it has been, and is different from the mainland Tanzania. When you talk to people, at least you may say, probably CCM will come back again, although the election of this year is completely different from the election that Tanzania had for the past almost 20 years.
What would you say has made this particular election different from the previous ones in as far as mainland Tanzania is concerned?
Opposition, especially main opposition parties, I'm talking about CHADEMA, Chama cha Demokrasia na Maendeleo, and I'm talking about NCCR Mageuzi, which was the leading opposition party in the election of 1995. They have decided to have one presidential candidate, who is Edward Ngoyai Lowassa, who was the former prime minister under CCM, and the person who has a very, very power in political arena in Tanzania, who is running as opposition right now. He has a lot of people behind him who are hoping that he will take Tanzania to the next level, who the person who has everything that people believe that will make Tanzania a better place to live. And actually, that's what people are looking for. And people are talking about changes. And the only hope that they have about getting to that changes is under Edward Ngoyai Lowassa.
Let me ask you perhaps the final question, Idi. What about the changing demographics and also the proliferation of the social media? To what extent would you say that those two things, in fact, could play a significant role in this particular election?
Of course, isn't it? You know, Shaka, Tanzania has changed a lot. And most of the young people, even old people, are on social media right now, are trying to, you know, express what they feel, express their opinion, express their thinking about a lot of issues which are concerned about Tanzania. And if you do some, you know, a little research, you will realize that Ukawa people are the most vocal people on social media right now. So this portrays that maybe Ukawa is about to win, which is possible for now. This is the time that maybe Tanzania has witnessed where opposition is more likely to win for the general election. But as you have said, you know, women voters as well on the place where they can make a difference. And the history says most women in Tanzania tend to vote for Chama cha Mapinduzi, CCM. But at the same time, so we don't know what will happen. But the interesting news will be after this Sunday.
Well, unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, we'll have to stop right there. And thank you so much, really, for your insight.
Thank you very much, Shaka Sali.
You're most welcome, Ndugu. Now, you obviously, you have heard from Ndugu Idi, who is on the ground in the Hub of Peace. You've also heard earlier from Emmanuel, who obviously is an official in the National Electoral Commission.
Yeah.
You also just got back from Tanzania.
Yeah, I got back about a week ago, yeah.
Do you agree with some of the things that you
Well, let me say this, though. Let me say first of all about Kalvishe. I don't agree with what he was saying about these voters who go there and can't find their names. I mean, that is a flaw that should have been corrected way back. I mean, for them to be denied the right to vote because that's their freedom. That's really toxic. It's bad.
You are not suggesting by any means or any measure that perhaps what you are seeing there is something deliberate?
Well, it could be because you never know. People have so many things that they do sometimes there's a lot of pretense. And they may say something this way, and the next time they do something else. So it could be part of that, or it could be because people, some of them are not well educated. They don't know what's going on, and they needed somebody to lead them and make sure that they understand, because this is the fundamental right for them to vote and choose the person they want. So that part of Kawishe it doesn't sit well with me, and I think it doesn't sit well with many Tanzanians, and especially voters. And something has got to be done before Saturday. These people got to vote.
What about reports that this particular election,
yes,
as far as Tanzania is concerned, is probably going to be a historic election, very different from all the previous elections since independence?
Yeah, that's true. It's very historical. There's so much anxiety. It's so much tension in Tanzania. And truly, I want to subscribe with what Edie said. And I'm going to choose my words carefully here. It's most likely that Lowassa is going to win.
What makes you reach such a conclusion?
Yes, I will tell you what. There are statistics that come from the government that indicates clearly that between 18 and 35, these are youngsters, and between 35 to about maybe 70 or something like that, these are, you know, a little bit older people. And many of these individuals seem to indicate, and especially the youngsters who are, they call the Boda Boda and the Bajaji people and the women, you know, and everybody, are really looking forward to have their their rights in business being protected. And Lowassa, as smart as he is, has tapped into them. And they seem to show, to indicate, really, that it's a massive of people who support that are Lowassa. And you can see also, but just using observational research method, you could see and tell that Lowassa pulls bigger crowds. I wouldn't say Magufu doesn't, but it seems Lowassa is at the age now where he's pulling more people than Magufuli. And the message of Lowassa, it resonates with the people. And the problem with Magufuli and CCM is that their message is not attractive in the sense that they've seen a lot of holes, a lot of things that have been promised have not been delivered. So that's the key point there.
It's very interesting that you say Lowassa seems to be representing change. And, you know, Magufuli, of course, doesn't seem to represent change. Rather, he represents continuity.
Right.
Even though, according to the second president of Tanzania, Ali Hassan Mwinyi himself has actually said that in this particular election, you have CCMA, which is, of course, headed by Pombe Magufuli, and CCMB, which is led by Edward Lowassa. Well, you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariam Diaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Happy to hear that you spoke a little bit about the role social media is playing in these elections, whether it's in Tanzania or Ivory Coast. But still to come, we'll reveal some of the fantastic feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Facebook fan who responded to our question of the week.
Mwamunyange Filippo, originally from Bayer City in Tanzania, he lives now in Guangdong in China, writes, "In Tanzania, all indications are the election will be free and fair. All candidates are conducting their campaigns freely without any restrictions or threats from the current government. In Ivory Coast, however, things may be a little complicated and the election may not be free and fair. We just have to wait and see."
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA. This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The National Electoral Commission of Tanzania says there are about 150 international poll observer missions in the country to monitor the upcoming October 25th presidential, parliamentary, and local elections. In Ivory Coast, the European Union has had 32 election observers in place since October 15th to monitor preparations for the vote with assessment of candidate campaigns, the role of the media, as well as the distribution of voter cards. Well, this leads us to our question of the week asking, do you think the upcoming polls in Tanzania and Ivory Coast will be free, fair, and credible? Well, thanks for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA African Elections. And if you haven't yet, do follow us. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Hassan Nagaini, who writes, "I may say yes, because Africa is now moving forward, moving toward free and fair elections. And a very good example of that is Nigeria. Another tweet from Gbenga Olejede echoes the previous tweet by saying, yes, because Africans have realized what it takes and are really making their possible best to get things right, even elections. Our last tweet comes from Joshua Oshiang from Kenya, who disagrees with the previous two by expressing that no, the upcoming polls in Tanzania and Ivory Coast simply won't be. In a case, won't be free, fair, and credible. Well, let's now turn to a comment from one of our Facebook followers. We'll go to William Kokulo in Monrovia, Liberia, who writes, I believe the upcoming elections in these two countries are very important for the sustainability of democracy and sovereignty. It'll be free and fair to the outside world, but to the common people in these two countries, it won't be credible because it'll always be manipulated by the incumbent governments. Well, Shaka and Gesa, a wide range of interesting points here. Your take.
Thank you very much. Damon, how do you react to that?
Well, I'm concerned about the election in Cote d'Ivoire for the simple fact that, you see, when we heard about Tanzania, I was glad to hear that candidates are running their campaign all over the country. In Cote d'Ivoire, it's not possible. No access to opposition candidate in the north, because the north is considered as what was stronghold. So when you send your flyers in the north, they'll tear them down. No access. So that tells us that the election is already rigged with fraud.
What about in the south? Are they able to campaign in the south?
Of course, because the south is a peaceful place. Now, the northerners are in the south, but we don't have access to the north. But in our area in the south, it's okay.
Where are the majority of the people, the population? Isn't it in the south?
They in the south, in the west and the north. But the north are the stronghold, is the stronghold of the rebels. So we have no access there. So whatever will be coming from the north is rigged with fraud.
So you will probably agree with someone who might want to say that, in fact, what you are holding in Ivory Coast is a selection as opposed to an election?
Exactly, a selection. We already know the winner. So why wasting our time?
Perhaps because the Ivorians are not, in fact, voting for an Ivorian primary stakeholder. They are voting, perhaps, for the development partners.
Yes, perhaps. And the opposition now is campaigning for the population to snub the election. So that means we don't want the Ivorian to waste their time, because anyway, they're going to be murdered for no reason.
What happened to the former foreign minister, Emery Salim? The former foreign minister, and in fact, at one time, he was Secretary General of the Organization of African Unity.
Yes. He said he's not concerned about this election. This election is already marred with fraud, so why wasting his time? So he withdrew.
But the government says that everybody is free to campaign. In fact, it so touts its record in terms of economic growth and what have you, that Ouattara is the man.
All right. But ask him another question. Why the Ivorian people are in exile? Thousands of Ivorians are in exile. Let them come in. He said no.
I see.
They're not coming. Now, go in the prisons over the country. They're filled with people suspected to be Gbagbo supporters. Thousands of them in prisons.
Well, unfortunately, the time happens not to be our best ally. Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with the audience, please?
Yes, indeed, Shaka. We'll move on to a posting from Humphrey Mutanga in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, who writes, the upcoming election in Tanzania will be free and fair because the National Electoral Commission is free from government's interference and does not side with any political parties. Well, that's an interesting comment. Let's look at another Facebook one, this time from Fro Gilbert Watarakea of Moshi in Tanzania, who says, it's not easy to say that the upcoming election in Tanzania will be free and fair because the ruling party is not ready to let go of its grip on power. They have proved it from the onset of the campaigns. They are not democratic at all. Shaka, and guest once again, someone who's been following what's happening in the East African country pretty closely, it looks like.
Well, how do you react to that, Professor Boyce?
A great comment with the last person who was saying that there seemed to be a grip of the ruling party and the government to stay in power by any means necessary. Now, these are comments that I've heard in Dar es Salaam when leaders of CCM, some of them denounce and say, well, we're going to win, and if we don't, we can even use a foul game to win. So we heard those kind of comments. They scare me.
Do you have any recorded?
Well, I don't have any recorded, but I heard this on the media. They were saying a couple of leaders, and I can't give you their names, but this has been occurring, and that's why there's some of the information, I don't know, comes from people from these bloggers. You probably wouldn't know whether they're right, they're true or not, but they raises a concern that if Lowassa wins, then the army or the police should take the government. I mean, these are ridiculous kind of comments. So they scare people. But let me go to something here.
But that is not unique to Tanzania.
Okay, I agree, but I had to point out.
You actually had people talking about the same thing in Nigeria.
Okay.
In much earlier this year.
Okay.
And the rest is history.
Well, but my point here then, if these things are being heard and they're being said, I think it's the duty of the NEC to say something. Well, and denounce those comments. They are not denouncing, they are not saying anything, so people get scared.
Unfortunately, the time happens not to be our best ally. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, a lot of passion in our studio right here as well, Studio 52 in Washington. This will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. And a special shout out to our callers as well, and hope to hear from them shortly. So please, please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is also streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on this program, we'll follow up with an in-depth discussion on the elections taking place in Ivory Coast and Tanzania. We'll have that and more next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Well, I gather that I have to go for the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Andrew from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Andrew, are you there?
I'm there. Good evening, Shaka.
I am hugely terrific. How are you today?
I'm terrific too. It has been 4 years since I last spoke to you.
Now talk to me, Andrew. What is your question or comment?
My concern is that we have elections in Africa, but they do not represent proper democracy. Sometimes there's rigging and people do not benefit from these elections, and it's just a gallery. So I don't think people benefit. So my issue is, when will we have proper elections that are representative? Because I now understand that there are problems in Ivory Coast, and there might be the same issue in Tanzania, you know. The process will there'll be irregularities. So that's my issue. So until we get things straight, I think it's a waste of time to have elections in Africa.
Would it be correct to say that your names are Andrew Karimugogo?
Yes, that's Andrew Karimugogo.
Oh, please accept my heartfelt condolences on the passing away of your dad.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Now, tell me, Professor Daman,
How do you respond to a guy like Andrew Karimogogo?
Yeah, I agree with his concern. You see, he mentioned the word democracy. Now, what is democracy?
Well, according to Abraham Lincoln, at least, one of the legendary presidents of the United States, he once described it as a government of the people, right, by the people, and for the people.
Yeah. Now, let me give you a picture of what happened in 2010 in Cote d'Ivoire. After the election, the Electoral Commission was supposed to proclaim the preliminary result within 3 days. On the third day at 11:59, he came on TV and he said, Ivorian people, be patient. We are now ready to tally the numbers to proclaim the result. Be patient. Okay, people waited. But guess what? On the next day, while everybody was waiting, he was found at Ouattara's headquarters proclaiming a result. That was supposed to be the preliminary result. They proclaimed them at the final result.
Mm-hmm.
Total confusion. Is that democracy? Number one. Number two, Laurent Gbagbo said, let's recount the ballot, because when there's an election, we're talking about ballot that's cast by the people. So let's count the ballot to make sure we see who won. France said no. UN said no. Well, guess what? They went and got military action and an order from UN.
Mm.
They bombed the presidential palace where Laurent Gbagbo and his family members were for 11 days, abducted him, and now he's at International Criminal Court for war crimes, a man who did not fight wars. Is that democracy?
Well,
I would say no.
It is probably democracy, but perhaps the one that is defined as a government of some people, by some people, and for some people.
And it doesn't work.
Well, we'll come back to that.
Some people,
by people. A reminder that you are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. If you wish to participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. This country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
Here are some key factors on the Ivory Coast election. Incumbent Alassane Ouattara is heavily favored to win a second 5-year term in office on October 25th in the first presidential election since the disputed 2010 election that left more than 3,000 dead and more than 500,000 displaced. On April 25th, Ouattara secured the support of his main coalition partner, the Democratic Party of Ivory Coast, the PDCI, for re-election in October's presidential poll. On October 6th, former Foreign Minister Amara Essi announces the suspension of his candidacy, saying he will not participate in an electoral masquerade. Days later, former Parliament Speaker Mamadou Koulibaly quits as well, saying it's a rigged election. On October 7th, of the 10 candidates competing for the presidency, only 4 candidates signed the National Democratic Institute's election code of conduct that urged candidates to renounce fraud and violence before, during, and after the polls. It included Ouattara and his main challenger, Pascal Affingeson, of ex-president Laurent Gbagbo's Ivorian Popular Front Party.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
You are shaming me. 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 42 women about there.
You are shaming me.
Welcome back, and that was an incident on Saturday, October 10th in Uganda, where the police reportedly arrested, drugged, and undressed Ms. Fatuma Zainab Naigaga, a senior member of the Opposition Forum for Democratic Change, or FDC, attempting to stop her and her colleagues from attending a political rally in Rukungiri district in southwestern Uganda. Gentlemen, your reaction.
Yes, let me tell you this. I think at many times, people, I would say such instances, are very peaceful. The only people who start all this violence and dehumanization are the police. They are being supported by the government, the president, for example. I mean, that's what we talk about democracy. Where is the freedom here? Because when people are free, for example, this issue of 200 yards, whatever, 200 meters in Tanzania, where you're going to vote and come and stay there. This is in the law, in the books of law. So what's the big deal here by telling them this is going to cause chaos and all that stuff by them standing there? It's simply because the police and maybe the government in power don't want them to be there for a simple reason that they may see something very unusual going to the polling station. So they're scared. They're scared about that.
But
so,
why should they be scared when...
Because, as I told you, they want to win by any means necessary.
But these are people... in the case of Uganda, right. You have a government, frankly, that has been in power for 29 years.
They don't...
Why not run on your record?
But they still want to be there for another 20 years. See, power is corrupt. And when people get into power, they do not want to release that power to other people, because that's where their lives, and that's where they get their friends, and that's where they become very corrupt, and that's where they become very abusive in the law. So it's human nature, and for Africans, that's very bad.
But Daman, I remember earlier you were talking about, for example, how opposition political parties are not allowed to campaign in some parts of the country. Specifically, you mentioned the North.
Yes.
You have the same situation in Uganda, for example, where political parties, as long as you are an opposition, you almost cannot campaign. In fact, you find a situation where the ruling party and the president enjoys competing against somebody whose hands are tied behind his back and their feet are tied together. Mm-hmm. And when he boxes you, he says, why don't you counter punch?
They make their own opposition.
Yes.
Loyal to them.
But why should such a situation happen in a country that has been independent, for example, for more than 50 years? Do the people who live in those countries really know the rights of a citizen and perhaps the lack of rights of a subject?
Maybe not.
What happened to civic education?
We had civic education, but the problem is we are manipulated from somewhere by remote control. So when that person who holds the remote control says, I want this man in power, he will find all kind of means to impose that person with illegal weapons, with rebel situation, and intimidate the population. Once the population is under intimidation, under duress, they're powerless. So the police now is with that person to intimidate the population, take away their freedom. That's all it is.
Well, freedom is not something, frankly, anybody can hand over to you.
You got to fight it for
on a silver platter.
Yeah. True.
That one you have either to demand or take it.
Yeah, true.
Why don't you mobilize, organize within the law?
Yes.
And make sure that you assert your constitutional rights, your inalienable rights, in fact, your birthrights.
True.
Well, unfortunately, again, time happens not to be our best ally, so we have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Abubakar from Nigeria. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Hello? Hello? Nigeria, please. Hello?
Hello, Chaka. Can you hear?
Yes, please. What is your question?
I would like to make a comment, Shaka. The ruling party in Tanzania has been in power for 38 years. If there is no progress, they should give a chance for others to contribute their own ideas. This same thing happened in Nigeria only for 16 years. We got tired. We got tired because nothing was changing, just stagnation, and in fact, we were just going back.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In fact, you are being very generous because the ruling party in Tanzania has not only been in power for 38 years, you could in fact say it has been in power since 1964, when Zanzibar and mainland Tanganyika became Tanzania. But of course, Tanganyika had been independent earlier back in 1961. Let's go to Uganda. Good evening, rather Tanzania. Good evening, Sospita. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, good evening, Chaka. I'm calling from Somatown in Tanzania.
Nyerere's birthplace.
Yes.
Yes, what is your question, sir? You have a minute. Your question.
No, I have a comment.
You have a minute, sir.
Yes, see, the problem is that the professor there is ignorant of Tanzania, one. Secondly, he's also, I think, ignorant of the dynamics of change and the salient features of change. Somebody who has been waiting, the man who is advocating to be the winner, he worked for the party from the day one of his graduation. And he has been a minister in different portfolios and a prime minister. And there is a second prime minister who has just joined that party. These are the people who are active of the economic changes in this country, and I doubt very much that there's something that is left over for a change. So the professor there is completely ignorant of Tanzania and is also ignorant of the dynamics of change.
Thank you.
You cannot advocate somebody who has been used to the patronage to bring about change. It's completely impossible.
Thank you very much. I think, Sospita, your point is well made. Quick reaction. He's talking from the birthplace, of course, of founding president Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, Musoma.
So what he's saying, his perception is different from mine. I would also say he's very ignorant. I know Tanzania better than he does.
But what about the changing demographics? What about the changing demographics? Can you deny that?
What about the changing demographics?
I'm talking about the point he's trying to make. I don't understand because he seems to be specifically addressing, Edward Rwasa.
Well, I had no problem with Edward Rwasa. And I said earlier that Rwasa is most likely to win. But and what favors him, though, it seems to be the young people who are from 18 to 30, and they seem likely, and I've seen this by my eyes, that they seem to like Rwasa more because it brings change, words of changes are more than what CCM has done for the 20, 30 years. So I'm not ignorant of what he's saying.
In fact, from what I have seen, anybody who is going to win this election there, you're going to win the young people and the women.
Yes. And Rwasa has an upper hand unfortunately.
Unfortunately, time is not our best ally, gentlemen. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Dr. Nicholas Boas, Professor of Communications at the University of Maryland University College, also Daman Lola Ajay, author and Ivorian political analyst. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Tanzania and Ivory Coast. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.